Imagine paying Google like absolute top dollar to put your business at the very top of the search page.
Right, the dream scenario for most businesses.
Exactly. But then you realize that every single lead you're getting is actively destroying your company's ROI.
Oh, yeah. That is happening all the time now.
It is. And, you know, if you're listening to this, you probably already know that the days of simple keyword bidding are totally dead.
Completely dead.
So today we are doing a deep dive into a really fascinating 2026 guide on navigating Google Local Services Ads, or LSAs, as they're known.
Yeah, and we're looking specifically at the Orange County market today.
Right, which is just an absolute bloodbath of a market, highly competitive.
Extremely.
So the mission of this deep dive is to basically extract the ultimate playbook for local visibility from this source material. Because showing up the top of Google, well, it's no longer just a digital marketing task, you know?
Yeah.
It is a full business operational stress
I
test.
love that phrasing, a stress test, because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Okay, let's unpack this. We all know where LSAs sit on a search page, right? They are at the absolute top, above the organic results, above the map pack, and above traditional pay-per-click.
Yeah, they are the very first thing you see.
But getting into that slot in a market like Orange County, it fundamentally changes the mechanics of how your business has to operate.
It really does. I mean, the shift here is moving from simply buying visibility to basically algorithmically proving your operational existence.
Proving your existence, right.
Because traditional pay-per-click, that's based around ad copy, your quality score, and your bid strategy. You write a compelling hook, you outbid the competitor, you get the click.
Right. It's whoever pays the most gets the most eyeballs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But local services ads abandon that model entirely. They are designed strictly around provider discovery.
So it's not just about the daily budget anymore.
Not at all. The algorithm is looking for authenticated trust signals. It's not just evaluating the size of your wallet.
And the eligibility isn't just a simple digital checkbox anymore, is it? I was looking at the source material, and it breaks down the mandatory screening for these categories. And wow, it is
Oh,
intense.
it's a massive hurdle for a lot of companies.
Right, because we are talking about active professional license checks, live insurance verification, and employee background checks integrated directly into the Google platform.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're listening to this and you run a regional home services agency or like a healthcare clinic, you know exactly how painful it is to get your own internal teams to comply with background checks.
It's an administrative nightmare.
But in this compressed decision window, generating a lead requires that baseline of absolute platform-verified credibility.
Well, think about the consumer mindset driving that compressed window, especially in a dense high-income market like Orange County.
Right.
The commercial intent is peaking, right? Like
Right.
a homeowner has a flooded kitchen, or maybe a family needs urgent estate planning counseling.
They're panicking.
Exactly. They aren't casually browsing blogs. They are triage comparing your reviews, your response speed metrics, and your brand authority in a window of maybe 3 to 5 minutes.
Wow, just 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah. And what's fascinating here is that paid placement cannot mathematically compensate for a weak trust foundation.
So you can't just buy your way out of bad reviews.
No, you really can't. If your Google business profile has fragmented review data or, say, inconsistent local hours, paying Google to put you at the top of the page simply amplifies your operational flaws to a much wider audience.
That makes so much sense. You know, I used to think of this transition using a VIP club metaphor.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
So traditional PPC, that's like the rented billboard on the side of the 405 freeway, right? Anyone with cash can blast their message to the traffic.
Sure.
And LSAs, they were supposed to be the exclusive VIP club where Google is the bouncer checking your ID at the door.
Right, checking the licenses and all that.
Yeah. But based on this 2026 research, Google isn't just a bouncer checking your credentials once at the door. They are a chaperone actively monitoring your heart rate, tracking your conversation speed, and grading your customer service the entire time you're inside the club.
That is a much more accurate representation of the mechanism. The algorithm is constantly measuring your live operational vitals.
My vitals. That's scary.
It is. It's tracking things like, do you answer the phone? How quickly does your team pick up? What's your conversion rate from call to booked appointment?
So trust isn't just a static badge.
No, trust is a fluctuating algorithmic currency now.
Yeah.
You might pass the initial background checks and get admitted into the LSA program, but if your operational vitals drop, the algorithm throttles your impression share.
Even if you're willing to pay more.
Regardless of how high you set your budget caps, if you don't perform, you don't show up.
Okay, so let's say your trust signals are completely dialed in. You passed the chaperone's vitals check. Your ad is live with that shiny green check mark. The lead is guaranteed, right? No, because getting the phone to ring is only a fraction of the battle. The actual friction starts the second the prospect sees the ad. They don't just blindly dial the number.
They immediately look for validation,
Right.
which leads directly into what the guide identifies as a massive, almost fatal vulnerability for local businesses. And that is treating local services ads as a substitute for local SEO.
I feel like a lot of businesses fall into that trap.
Oh, constantly. It's a fundamental misunderstanding of the post-click journey.
How so?
Well, the paid ad buys you the initial discovery in that critical moment of intent.
Yeah.
But the organic presence is what builds the durable authority required to actually close a highly discerning prospect.
Like the flooded kitchen example.
Yeah. A homeowner sees your plumbing ad at the top. They see the Google Guarantee badge. But before they commit to having a stranger walk into their house, they open a new tab.
Right. They want to know who this person actually is.
Exactly. They search your brand. They click through to your website to compare specific service tiers, scrutinize team photos, and look for local proof.
Wait, let me pause there and play devil's advocate for a second.
Okay, go for it.
If I'm an agency owner or marketing director and I'm paying Google a massive premium for that LSA placement specifically to bypass the organic clutter, why do I care what my website looks like?
You mean let the ad do the work?
Yeah. If I have the green badge and I'm sitting at the absolute top of the search page, shouldn't the ad do the heavy lifting? Like, what happens when the paid messaging and organic messaging are just out of sync?
This raises an important question about consumer behavior. If the ad sets a psychological anchor for premium, highly vetted quality, but then the user clicks through to a thin, templated website.
Oh, like one of those generic landing pages.
Exactly. A page that loads slowly and lacks local context, that cognitive dissonance instantly shatters the trust the ad just built.
Because the story doesn't match.
Exactly. But beyond the human psychological element, this brings up how search engines correlate your paid and organic data behind the scenes.
Right. It's not just the humans looking at it.
We aren't just talking about aesthetic alignment here. We're talking about entity data alignment. This is where the intricacies of schema markup dictate your LSA performance.
Okay, let's dive into that schema interaction. Because if you're an advanced marketer listening to this, you don't need us to define what structured data is.
Right.
But we do need to understand how specifically the local business or service schemas are interacting algorithmically with the LSA trust signals in this 2026 landscape.
Well, the algorithm does not evaluate your LSA dashboard in a vacuum. It cross-references your entity data across the entire web ecosystem.
So it's double-checking your homework.
Precisely. When your site's structured data cleanly and accurately maps out your exact service radii, your local FAQs, and your specific technical service offerings, it creates an algorithmic feedback loop of relevance.
Okay, what if it doesn't match? Like, what if my LSA says one thing and my website says another?
If your LSA profile claims you do emergency leak detection in Irvine, but your website schema lacks specific service definitions or local context for Irvine, the system detects a mismatch.
And what happens then?
It degrades its confidence in your relevance for that specific local query, which ultimately impacts your ad delivery.
Wow. So it's not enough to just throw up a basic service list.
No.
The guide actually pushes incredibly hard on the necessity of hyperlocal content. It outlines examples where a home service company shouldn't just list HVAC repair.
Right, that's way too broad.
Yeah, they need to publish city-specific maintenance guides, or a healthcare-adjacent provider needs to build out highly detailed, localized service education pages that reference local municipal codes or regional health trends.
Yes. It's about answering the complex long-tail queries that an LSA unit simply doesn't have the pixel space to address.
Because an ad is just an ad. It can't explain a local health code.
Exactly. It builds an airtight perimeter around the prospect. They see the LSA, they trust the verification badge, they click through, and they find a highly authoritative, logically structured page detailing the exact regulatory considerations for their specific neighborhood in Orange County.
Which is incredible for conversion.
It's massive. You've now transitioned from being just another vendor on an ad to being a local authority. The organic assets perfectly support and convert the paid lead generation. It is a symbiotic relationship.
Okay, so the SEO is tight. The schema is perfectly validating the entity. The content strategy is hyperlocal, and the website looks premium.
The dream setup.
Right. The marketing friction should be gone. But this is the pivot in the research that I found most compelling. The phone rings, and we instantly move out of the realm of marketing and crash headfirst into the cold, hard reality of business operations.
Oh, yes. Welcome to the operational trap.
The operational trap. It's brutal.
This is exactly where the vast majority of local campaigns bleed out. There is this dangerous assumption that every lead generated by an LSA is a bottom-of-the-funnel, ready-to-buy customer.
Because you paid so much for it, you assume it's golden.
Right. But the reality of the incoming call is much messier.
Oh, for sure.
The caller might be aggressively price shopping against three other LSA results. They might be calling from a zip code that sits 2 miles outside your profitable service radius.
Or they just want free advice.
Or that.
Oh.
Or they might have a highly urgent need that your team simply doesn't have the specific technical capacity to fulfill that very day.
Here's where it gets really interesting. When businesses look at their dashboard and see a low conversion rate from these ads, the knee-jerk reaction is almost always to blame the visibility.
Yeah, they say, the leads are bad.
Exactly. They say, we need more leads. Crank up the budget. But cranking up your LSA budget when you have a broken intake team, it's like buying a $1 million high-performance sports car, but completely forgetting to teach your front desk how to drive a stick shift.
I mean, that is the perfect analogy.
Right. You have this incredible digital machine capable of generating massive velocity and revenue, but the moment you hand the keys to your internal team, they grind the gears, stall out in the parking lot, and then blame the car.
And honestly, it's significantly worse than just stalling out.
Really? How so?
A poorly trained intake team actively trains Google's algorithm to stop sending you leads entirely.
Wait. By not answering properly, they are training the algorithm against themselves.
Yes. If we go back to the chaperone monitoring your vitals, if your front desk misses calls, if voicemails sit untouched for 3 hours, or if your staff fails to convert those inquiries into booked appointments, you are feeding the system negative conversion signals.
Google sees that you aren't actually helping the searcher.
Exactly. Google's ultimate goal is to connect searchers with reliable providers who actually solve their problem seamlessly. If your operational data proves that you don't solve the problem, the algorithm will ruthlessly route those high-value leads to your competitor down the street who maintains a 95% answer rate.
Wow, so it's a completely self-inflicted wound.
Completely.
The business is throwing more money at the campaign, but the algorithm is actively restricting their impression share because their internal operations are, well, toxic to the end user experience.
They're just burning cash.
So how does a business actually fix the intake process to stop feeding bad data back to Google?
You have to treat LSA management as a daily operational discipline, not passive marketing spend. It requires granular, obsessive tracking.
Like what kind of tracking?
You must monitor call quality, your true booked appointment rate, the average job value of those specific LSA leads, and crucially, your speed to lead. It also requires the active management of disputed leads.
Okay, let's double click on the disputed leads process because a lot of people think that's just a way to get a refund from Google, right? Like getting $50 back.
Yeah, they treat it like a rebate program.
But it's actually an algorithmic training mechanism, isn't it?
Absolutely. If someone calls looking for a commercial service and your profile is only optimized for residential, you have to go into the LSA portal, dispute the lead, and explicitly categorize why it was a mismatch.
So you're telling Google what you don't do.
Yes. You aren't just saving $50. You are actively training Google's machine learning models on the strict parameters of your business.
And if you don't do that?
If you just ignore the bad leads, the algorithm assumes they were valid and keeps sending them.
Wow. That's a huge shift in perspective.
Before a leader even considers increasing their weekly budget cap, they must look inward. If your intake team doesn't have a rigid, specialized script of qualifying questions to handle high-intent LSA leads, you aren't doing marketing anymore. You're just subsidizing your own operational failures.
Which brings us directly to the execution phase, the 2026 playbook.
Let's get into it.
Because hearing all of these interconnected requirements, the ongoing background checks, the schema entity validation, the algorithmic feedback loops, the ruthless operational stress tests, I mean, if you're a decision maker listening to this right now, it sounds like an absolute nightmare to implement.
It can be overwhelming.
It sounds like it could easily tear a company's org chart apart. How do we actually roll this playbook out without paralyzing the business?
It starts by entirely abandoning the antiquated idea that this is just a marketing department project.
Right. You can't just hand this to the CMO and walk away.
Exactly. Before taking any tactical action, executive leadership has to clearly define the desired business outcome, the actual budget tolerance, and most importantly, the operational risk of doing nothing.
What do you mean by operational risk in this context?
Like, what specific workflows are currently exposed? What exact percentage of local revenue is actively at risk if your visibility in Orange County continues to degrade over the next 12 months?
Okay, I see. And the guide introduces the concept of strict shared ownership here, because historically, the siloed approach is exactly what kills ROI.
Oh, silos are the death of LSAs.
Right, because marketing runs the ads, operations runs the trucks or the clinic floor, and sales answers the phones. And when the leads don't convert, they all just point fingers at each other.
The siloed approach guarantees failure in this ecosystem. The playbook demands strict, documented mapping of responsibilities.
So who owns what?
Well, marketing is responsible for campaign optimization, the underlying schema alignment, and managing the actual LSA dashboard inputs.
Okay, makes sense.
Operations owns the response quality, the localized capacity planning, and the steed-to-lead metrics. Leadership owns the budget allocation and makes the hard, data-driven calls on which specific service areas are actually profitable enough to run ads in.
And sales.
Your intake or sales team owns the strict, documented qualification of those incoming leads. Without that shared ownership, promising local visibility just turns into incredibly inconsistent, chaotic execution.
Let's ground this in reality for a minute. Let's walk through a specific hypothetical 90-day scenario of a business trying to align this.
Sure.
Say I run a large HVAC company in Orange County. We've got 20 trucks on the road. I don't want to boil the ocean and change everyone's workflow on a Monday morning. The guide strongly recommends a phased rollout. So in month one, I'm assuming we're just doing discovery and triage.
Yes. Month one is pure documentation. You map the current state of your trust signals. Mm. Are your state licenses perfectly up to date? Are your Google reviews fragmented across multiple duplicate listings?
So no budget increases yet.
You absolutely do not increase ad spend during this phase. You fix the highest risk structural gaps first. You ensure your local business schema is perfectly aligned with the data in your Google business profile.
Okay, and month two?
Month two transitions into operational alignment. You audit the intake team. You listen to the recorded LSA calls. Are they asking the right qualifying questions? Or are they just acting as order takers?
Like just writing down an address and saying, we'll send someone out.
Exactly. You have to ask, are they updating the CRM accurately and promptly so the algorithm gets the right conversion feedback?
And then month three is where we actually look for the operational gains. Because if I'm presenting this massive strategy shift to my partners or my board, I need to know how to prevent this from becoming just another bloated strategy document.
Nobody wants more shelfware.
Exactly. We've all suffered through those meetings. Everyone nods. The slide deck looks beautiful. And then 6 weeks later, the intake team goes right back to their old habits. The schema breaks during a site update, and the ad spend starts bleeding out again.
The mechanism that prevents that decay is what the guide calls combating system drift.
System drift.
Yeah, system drift is the natural entropy of business operations. A perfectly optimized, lightning-fast landing page will naturally slow down over 6 months as different marketing plugins or tracking scripts are added.
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time.
Or a well-trained intake specialist leaves, a new one is hired, and suddenly your lead qualification process decays. The algorithm notices this operational drift immediately, and your LSA impression share will drop accordingly.
So to fight system drift, the guide demands a rigid review cadence. We're talking monthly reviews for the operational issues.
Yes, pulling call logs, checking lead dispute ratios, monitoring speed to lead times.
And then quarterly reviews for the broader market strategy and budget allocations.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the crucial distinction here at the 90-day mark is measuring outcomes, not just tracking activity.
What's the difference there?
Well, most companies drown themselves in activity metrics. More dashboards, more tracking tags, more automated Slack alerts. That's just noise.
Right.
Measuring outcomes means looking at tangible risk reduction. Have we reduced the number of unqualified calls interrupting our dispatch team? Has our customer confidence, measured by our true booked conversion rate, increased?
Are we actually making more money efficiently?
Exactly. And are we documenting our vendor decisions and accepted risks so that when a marketing director inevitably takes a new job, the strategy doesn't walk out the door with them?
That documentation piece is so critical. So what does this all mean for you listening right now?
It's a lot to take in.
It is. We've looked deeply into the hyper-competitive landscape of Orange County. We've established that Google Local Services ads are no longer just a financial bidding war. They are a high-stakes, algorithmic trust gateway.
A literal stress test.
Right. We've explored how your technical SEO and entity data must seamlessly validate your paid presence. And we've seen how the second the phone rings, a marketing win instantly transforms into a ruthless operational reality. The old departmental silos are completely dead.
They have to be.
Marketing, operations, and sales are now one continuous, highly sensitive algorithmic loop.
The businesses that will dominate local search in the coming years aren't the ones with the deepest pockets or the cleverest ad copy. They're the ones capable of combining strict lead qualification, deep local SEO authority, elite response speeds, and rigorous outcome measurement into one holistic system.
And the guide notes that groups like Technigian are offering resources for the SEO and digital marketing sides to actually help businesses architect and sustain this exact kind of complex local visibility planning.
It really is a closed ecosystem where you simply cannot fake operational maturity anymore. The algorithmic chaperone is watching your every move.
It really is.
And you know, that chaperone is about to get exponentially more sophisticated.
The
guide leaves us with a critical look at how AI search experiences will soon alter the way consumers evaluate providers before they even make contact. We are moving rapidly toward a reality where an AI agent acts as a proxy for the consumer.
Wait, an AI proxy actually making the preliminary buying decision for you?
Yes, and it fundamentally shifts the baseline of local search. Think about it. Right now, a human prospect might skim your last five reviews, get a general feel for your brand, and maybe forgive a slightly slow mobile website.
Sure, humans are pretty forgiving if they're in a hurry.
But if an AI agent is doing the pre-screening on behalf of the user, it isn't skimming. It will read every review you've ever received across every single platform.
Oh, wow.
It will cross-reference your historical pricing models, and it will analyze your response times down to the millisecond to mathematically evaluate your operational readiness before it ever presents your business as an option to the human user.
That is terrifying. If an AI is going to judge your daily operations with that level of algorithmic ruthlessness, you really have to ask yourself, how will your business's trust foundation hold up when the empathy of a human buyer is entirely removed from the equation?
It's the ultimate stress test.
It really is, because if your internal operations can't pass the human stress test today, they are going to be completely invisible to the AI gatekeepers tomorrow.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Take that question back to your team, and we'll catch you on the next one.